You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Another day, another practice for your New Orleans Saints. Another win. I'm going with the defense. They continue to play fantastic. Four interceptions. A couple more injuries today. The severe one yesterday. Trayvon Doral broke an arm. A couple of folks just getting some bumps and bruises. Cameron Tom, the backup center, arm in a sling. That was visible at practice today. So we'll see. Look, it's that time, right? I mean, the more you have contact, the more you get physical, things are going to happen. That's just the way it is. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio. No, there's no way to follow us over on Twitter and give us a call. Joey back over in the LaRose studios. Gus Kattengill with you here in New Orleans and the Metairie studios. So got plenty to get into this hour. I just tweeted it out there as well, and I want to hear it from you. If you went to the three open practices so far today, yesterday, or Saturday, what did you see that stood out to you? I want to know what you have. If you have any questions about a player or position group or comment, feel free to ask away via social media or give us a call. Again, I kind of have, I don't know, six, seven things written down on my legal pad here that I kind of want to get into. Plenty of sound to kind of talk about as well. So I'm kind of focused in that way. Doesn't mean that we don't want to talk about it. So if there's something that you haven't heard me touch on and you want to know, you know, the backup quarterback role, whatever, just the running backs. Because again, it's not really on the top of my list just yet. We're going to get into that the closer we get into the games. Because I think the games is really going to be the real determining factor as to who excels at running back. Right? Kind of hard to kind of pick that during practice. You see some glimpses, you know. Now I'll just briefly touch on it. I really like what I've seen out of Boston Scott. I think Terrence West is the number that kind of seems to really, kind of stand out. Trey Edmonds, you're seeing him getting some work at fullback as well. Sean Payton touched on it. So we'll touch on all of that and more. The one thing I want to start off the hour though, and I love this, and I mentioned this in our video that's on Facebook and also on Twitter with Brian and I, and we touched on it in which dealing with expectations, and we'll get to Lee here in about a minute and a half. We were dealing with expectations. How would the Saints deal with it? And I said, look, competition is going to help that. The more competitive your practice is and the more competitive it is just to get snaps or get an opportunity to play, you can't worry about what everyone's writing and saying. I also think the coaches can help that, right? Constantly pushing and striving for you to get better. Sean Payton, yesterday after practice.
Look, there was moments, plays. You know, the big thing right now is just the consistency. You know, we've got too many snaps on the ground. Defensively, you know, we'll have three or four good plays, and then all of a sudden there's a big play that we've got to correct. And that was a problem a year ago.
He's right. Defense showed improvement yesterday. I mean, last year, they still had some big plays. Gave up some big plays. He's also right in that there's trouble snapping the football right now. And it has nothing to do with the center. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's fatigue, if it's the ball's wet, is it sweat? I don't know. Everyone's having issues. It's not just JT Barrett. Don't throw just him under the bus. Taysom, Tom, Drew. Issues with it. They're all throwing picks too. Not just one. They're all getting balls tipped. Not just one. And it was funny because you go back to Saturday in which Sean Payton kind of touched on practice and his thoughts on saying, tell me if this doesn't sound like a coach who's a little frustrated.
Felt like we got some good work done, you know, and I'm sure we're going to watch the tape and see, you know, a handful of things that we need to clean up. But we're far enough along from an assignment standpoint on the early installations where, you know, they should know what to do. Hopefully we can just improve the technique and the way they're doing it.
He was short Saturday, by the way. A And if you've covered Sean Payton, you know what that means. He was upset. He was upset the offense wasn't moving. He was upset that the defense, again, was kind of going. It's a fine line, right? He wants to see that defense improve, but he also wants that offense kind of humming along. And in yesterday, and then we'll get to Lee right after this bite, the thing that really stood out was this. And you've probably heard this. It's what had a lot of people kind of chuckling. Because Thursday, Friday, bobbling, fumbling, it was the sun, it was this, it was that. The returners having trouble with it. Alvin Kamara, Ted Ginn, Tommy Lee Lewis, Boston Scott had been the four. You know what Sean Payton did today? Austin Carr now added to it. Why? Well, this was him yesterday. He opened up with the sloppiness, and then I made it two bites. Then he went comma, took a breath, and then got into this.
You know, our return game, it's kind of like The Bachelor right now. We got about 12 contestants, all with roses. We don't know who our returner is going to be. So, and if she doesn't like any of them, we'll bring in more.
We actually hand out roses?
Listen, they got to do anything they can to become the returner. It's wide open. Limousine, whatever. Paris.
Does Alvin have a chance to do it?
Absolutely, but he's got to show it. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to play our best player, punt and kick return. It's a 2-part series.
Look, he was not happy. He used some choice words at them a couple of days ago in the sun. He's like, well, I guess we better not play day games. And then yesterday, you name it, the expletives are out, essentially saying if you can't do it, we'll find somebody else. That's how he started practice yesterday. So again, he understands, though, as we bring in Lee to the conversation, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003. I said this on a video to Brian. The schedule's tough. Starting out, well is important before the bye. You're playing division opponents, two of the first, handful of games in Tampa Bay and Atlanta. They're all going to matter. You got it. Every game is going to matter. You know that already, but a lot of those games could be close. Special teams is going to matter. That difference of 10 to 15 yards in that return could lead to a field goal, can get you out of trouble, can start you outside of the 20, open up the playbook. Everything matters when you need every point in every game in a very tough NFC. I love that I'm seeing that from Sean Payton. I love that. Lee, what's going on, man? Thanks for calling the Sports Hangover.
Hey, Gus, I got to echo what you're saying, man. You know, this is day five. It's like, if you listen to Coach, we can't run. We can't hit. We can't tackle. We can't kick. I love it because Sean Payton with an edge is what we need right now because iron can't sharpen iron if the coach is up, fat and happy. If the coach is fat and happy, then guess what? Nobody's going to put out 110% on every play. So I'm loving what I'm hearing, man. I'm loving what's going on. It's day five of training camp. I hope everybody needs to learn the fundamentals. I hope you come up and have a press conference and say, look, we need to learn how to block. We need to learn how to tackle. Yeah. We don't know anything. I need that. That's the solid coach I need. I need that coach right there. Mm. That's the one I need. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. Y'all was talking about Tre'Quan Smith. You said it over the weekend when we was at the Harley Davidson place. You said it, man. Tre'Quan Smith, Tre'Quan Smith, Tre'Quan Smith. Because I asked the question. I wasn't able to get to the practice. I asked the question, who is the guy to watch? And Jordan said Tre'Quan Smith 5 times, 1 through 5, Tre'Quan Smith. And I'm like, wow. So that had me thinking, Brian's favorite guy, Brandon Coleman, whatever he's doing.
Hey, let me tell you what. Hey, the best thing he did over the weekend, and I mentioned it to Brian, was after a catch by Tre'Quan Smith, he showed a little hustle and actually jogged towards Tre'Quan coming back after scoring a touchdown and high-fived him. So way to go, Brandon Coleman. As Brian and Ole said, 16 reasons why he's a good teammate. I'm like, stop it. I mean, let me tell you, whatever's ailing him, he needs to get on the field. I really do. I know Sean loves him. I know Breeze. I don't know if he got paid or not, you know, mentioned he was a leader on this team. I mean, I'm just saying, like, the guy he had the most confidence in. I'm like, you mean you don't have the most confidence in Michael Thomas? And I get it. He's being complimentary of the guy. And there's nothing wrong with him. But he's, folks, he's not going to be Marcus Colston. And he's not anywhere near the top three receivers on this team. And you don't keep a receiver as a blocker if you can find other receivers that can block and catch, is all I'm saying. I mean, that's all right. I mean about it. I'm not picking on the guy, but he needs to get on the field.
His only saving grace may be that the Saints decide to keep six wide receivers. And if that's the case, he might inch in there as the sixth receiver. But do you want to keep the sixth receiver that don't play special teams?
Well, and again, that's the other thing. Sean Payton's mentioned it already several times. 46, that's all he can dress. 46. So that's a big thing for him. Lee, anything else, man? Got to get to David.
That's it. That's all I got, Gus. Enjoy the show as usual.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. As Lee mentioned it, New Orleans Harley-Davidson, we were there last Saturday. We'll be there again this Saturday, 11 to 2. Free burgers, dogs, chicken, beverages of the adult kind, cold water as well. It's all free. It's inside. Just cross the street on Airline Drive. It's maybe 2 blocks, and you can enjoy a little something to fill your bellies right afterwards. And we'll get there right after practice. And it was cool. Got to sit down in underneath some tents outside or even inside and play on the motorcycles and check them out and just talk football with people. So look, it's no hassle, absolutely free environment. Just walk in. The Harley's Angels there are going to be there giving you the beer and the food. So just come on in. I mean, it's free food and beer and water and snowballs and everything else after practice. You've been outside in the heat. David, thanks for giving us a call on the Sports Hangover. What you got?
Hey, Gus, this is David on Twitter.
Cool, man.
First-time caller. Want to say hi. I love the show.
Awesome.
How's Minnesota looking these days?
Love me the Vikings.
And one other thing. I love the Saints. I'm glad to see this other practice and all, but are you any concern at all about this up-and-coming season with the Pelicans? With what happened and what you've seen and how the body language of AD during that report, you know, I don't know. I know it's off subject a little bit, but I became a fan after this last season. I really did, and that's the truth. I always watched on Christmas Day. That was always like sort of like my the beginning of the NBA for me. And I don't know. It just seemed like his body language was telling me something.
I know what you're talking about, and I'll go back and play it a little bit later if you like as well. I saw a body language from a guy too that I think wants to win and probably was being the respectful. I thought, at least in the video I saw with the CBS guy, very similar to what Drew Brees would sort of be like, right? Said what he needed to say without saying it yet, kind of being politically correct or something from that nature. In terms of, I see a guy that wants to win, saw how good this team could sort of play. And it's what I've said before, David. I think Anthony Davis wants to win, not run a daycare. And it's not being disrespectful or whatever, but when you have to worry about his feelings all the time and how he takes things and is he being respected or disrespected, he mentioned it in the soundbite there, right? When he found out about DeMarcus Cousins, he talked about, hey, look, you know, he probably wanted a max contract and felt disrespected. So even he knows that with DeMarcus Cousins, there came the risk of if the initial conversation or the money and where it needs to be, he was going to take it as disrespectful. I'll say this. I think you can still be excited about the Pels, David. I've talked with the Pels just as recent as the end of last week. This week, I'm going to have a sit-down with Coach Gentry. We'll chit-chat a little bit about that and obviously the outcome from last year and you know what he feels going into this season. So, look, I think you have stability as much as you've had here. Extensions to a couple of the coaching staff and him. I think some of the additions kind of go to what Coach Gentry wants to do. But we'll touch on all of that and more. I'm going to have a sit-down one-on-one with him, and, you know, I'll have that. But, and David, I love your tweet. He's not an OTA Hall of Fame. He was, though. Look, I still referenced that tweet because it really was really good that you thought I put JT Barrett in the mini camp Hall of Fame. No, okay, it is what it is, but, you know.
It was nice talking to you. Great show, man.
Yeah, man. Don't be a stranger, man. I love your tweets, dude.
All right, then. Bye.
I appreciate it. Quick break. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Brian and Nola East will chime in. He was with me at practice over the weekend. We can go a little bit back and forth. Again, if you have anything to take on, feel free. Anthony, because I said I was bringing up PBU City. He says defensive back of town. I like that. Defensive back of town. What nickname could you give this defensive backfield? Because we're going to get into the number two thing that stood out so far through five practices in 5 days, and that's defense. I mean, they are winning the day. They're winning most of the plays. It's not just my opinion. I'm telling you. It really honestly is. Sports Hangover continues next. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hard to believe football right around the corner next Thursday. Saints at Jacksonville. Lots of talk about the Jags maybe representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. We'll see. It'll be interesting as we get to next week as well. We'll start talking some storylines going into that game. Because one of the best ways to see how good your team is how deep they are, right? When your second, third strings are putting up points or making plays, you know you got a good, solid team. So I'll be interested to see second half, second quarter between Jacksonville and New Orleans. Where are they? Now, clearly, Jacksonville has been bad for a while. So they've been picking pretty high over the last several years. And a lot of those young draft picks are starting to come along. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Brian and Ole East at Brian TNR is the way to follow him over on Twitter. He was at practice with me the last 2 days, kind of going over some things. We put up a video on Facebook and on Twitter as well, kind of going over a lot of the different topics. Brian, I really want to get into topic two, which was the defense, as to the things that have stood out through five practices. But feel free to give your take since you saw 2 days worth of my number one thing that stood out, and that's receiver Tre'Quan Smith.
He's just a different animal, Gus. And, I mean, you know, we've kind of seen this before with guys. We saw it instantly with Alvin Kamara. We saw it instantly with Michael Thomas. And right now we're seeing it instantly with Tre'Quan Smith. There's no rookie wall. There's nothing for him to learn. He's making plays that we only hear about, you know, kind of last year. A couple of years back with Drew Brees when he was saying that Mike Thomas kind of knew signals and hand signals and knew Brees was thinking at that moment. Well, Tre'Quan Smith is just balling right now. And the craziest part is that we're only seeing him use his deep speed. We haven't seen him run the underneath routes and get into his blocking just yet. We're only scratching the surface right now. I'm excited about what he can do defensively. I heard you asking for a nickname. I'm calling him the Fast and the Furious. They are flying around. They're confident. They're comfortable. They know exactly what they want to do. And they're doing it at high speed. I've always said throughout the offseason that it reminds me of the Rams' greatest show on turf because both sides of the football were fast and just basically dictated what an offense would do. The Fast and the Furious is my name for the defense.
I like that. Speaking with Brian and Nola East, I got PBU City. You're going with Fast and the Furious. And let's see, we got defensive back of town from Anthony over on Twitter. Let's get into that defense because, Brian, to me, that is easily the second thing that stood out so far. 5 days in camp and five practices. Look, you're mentioning the speed, the athleticism. I've mentioned several times to Jordan, the intern, do you see the wall of white jerseys on any run plays? They string plays along. You saw Marcus Davenport get in the backfield early in camp that allowed A.J. Klein to make a play. It just really seems really that everyone is kind of on the same page. And it goes back to what P.J. Williams said. If you remember, Brian, back on Saturday when you and I were listening to him talking, I think you asked him the question. It was just really the fact that for a lot of these players, they're in year two, if not three, of Dennis Allen's defense.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird to see the light come on for these young guys because they aren't thinking anymore. They're basically just using their natural reaction and knowing where to go with the ball, so they're able to play a lot faster. And as PJ alluded to, it's just an idea that they're confident. They know exactly what they want to do. Dennis Allen has a perfect scheme to use their talents. And right now, I tell you no lie, Gus, it's not just the idea that they're making the plays as far as the tip balls and stuff. They're actually taking the ball away from the offense. That Steel Sharpen Steel mentality is all over the place. And the turnovers are the thing that have impressed me the most. I believe it's actually been 2 turnovers at minimum each practice now for 5 days straight. That's a great sign going into the season. The last time we saw this, things turned out very well.
You and I talked about it watching practice here as well. Look, the defensive backs, we'll get to them a little bit more specific here in a second because somebody tweeted and I asked the question, what specifically stood out to you if you went to any of the open practices? And they said Ken Crowley. And so we'll get to the DBs in a second and even in the D-line. But, Brian, night and day, man, right? I mean, look, there was some talent on the D-line. There was some players that made some plays in the secondary last couple of years. But the linebacking core was, without question, the weakest position group on this football team. Fans for years called for new coaching there. Fans for years called for better play. And it's like not like the team didn't try. They went through a lot of draft picks, high draft picks, middle draft picks, to try to get linebackers, and they couldn't stick. So the bad scouting they had to get rid of, brought in new people. Next thing you know, Brian, this linebacking core is sick. Today, 4 interceptions by the defense. 3 by linebackers, Anzalone, DeMario Davis, Craig Robertson.
I can tell you this, Gus. You know, you and I were standing there and we're talking with Deuce McAllister, and he kind of alluded to the last time the Saints had a playmaker at middle linebacker, in which we've seen with DeMario Davis thus far, was Jonathan Vilma. And he was kind of reluctant to use it, but after a while of thinking of it, he was like, you know what? Yeah, the last time they had a guy like this is Jonathan Vilma, and we know how that turned out. So I'm not sure if it's a combination of the Saints finally having talent at the position. I'm not sure if Mike Nolan doesn't deserve a hell of a lot more credit than what he's been given thus far as being a linebacker whisperer. Maybe it's a combination of both. But right now, the linebackers are not only a strength of the team, but they're actually that depth at linebacker. And when you look at the defense on every single level of this defense, if you look at it on paper and you're seeing it on field, I don't know if we've ever seen the Saints defense this talented on every single level since maybe 09, possibly 11 at the latest. But, I mean, I don't even know if those guys were as talented because we're talking about veterans that were, you know, 5, 6 years in the league. This is a young group that still has room to grow. Can you imagine when they hit year 4 and year 5 what this defense could look like?
Yeah, no, I think one of the things that really stood out here as well, too, is just the different players that you can put back in there because, Brian, every practice, every team drill, almost it seems, it's just here's a player here, there is a player there. If they go to nickel, they kind of go this way. You have versatility, you have options if you're Dennis Allen.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we're looking at the idea that DeMario Davis can play both the middle linebacker and the weak side if they need him there. A.J. Klein can play middle and strong. Manti Te'o is a man that, you know, when he was originally signed, you know, you and I were kind of thinking maybe it's just a depth move.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to keep Manti Te'o off the field, and we're not even talking about guys like Craig Robinson, who the coaches love, because I don't think there's a single thing that Craig Robinson does that he doesn't do well. He may not be, you know, the most adequate guy as a starter, but if you need a fill-in guy and him to play every position, he does it well. And we haven't even talked about Nate Stupar being able to be a special teams guy and strong side linebacker. The depth is there, and Haloi Kakaha is playing both defensive end and linebacker, and a guy that's, you know, kind of been a project, and he's going to be just a pass rush specialist. This team, my goodness, when you think about talent-wise, linebackers right now, I mean, they're a strength of the team.
On the offensive side of the ball, look, and you, I don't know if you've been listening to the show. I said earlier, I'm not being disrespectful. We'll get into it as the game gets closer because I think really to evaluate the running back position, I need to see football. I need to see really what a back can do in the game, and you're not really going to see that too much right now, Brian. And I also just don't think the replacement carries is not even a theme to me. I know you need a back or two. It's not what I'm saying. But, Brian, don't you agree with me when you see the weapons you have out there on offense, potentially, with Meredith and Tre'Quan Smith and Ben Watson, and you have Alvin Kamara, I just, to me, whoever is replacing Ingram, it's to spell Kamara. I don't think it's to be an integral part of this offense. You know what I'm saying?
No, I totally agree with that. It's not the idea that Alvin Kamara is now going to all of a sudden get 25 to 30 touches a game.
Correct.
It's going to be of that level. But, you know, Sean Payton has consistently compared Alvin Kamara to Marshall Faulk. I'm going to go with a little slightly different version. I think this offense is going to be almost LaDainian Tomlinson-like with Kamara, and the idea that he's going to be the feature guy, and he's going to be a guy that also helps in the passing game. So when the Saints say pick your poison, I don't think there's ever been a Saints offense in recent years, especially, you know, coming off the 7-9 season back to 13. I don't think there's been an offense this potent since maybe 2011, and it's definitely going to be pick your poison. And who do you want to die by? It's like death by a thousand cuts. You want Alvin Kamara to play up close? Fine. Try to take him out of the run game and watch him just, you know, wheel route you to death. Or, you know, the Drew Brees can kind of go to one of those weapons that he has now that you named earlier. Or if you want to take away the pass, do you really think you're going to stop Alvin Kamara from taking a one cut 60 yards run to the house that we've seen him do thus far? This is a great problem to have for the Saints. And if you have a guy like a Shane Vereen or maybe even a Terrence West that just is going to come in, Boston Scott included, that's going to come in and spell Kamara.
That's it.
Not losing anything on the offense when they come in.
That's it. And that's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I think people are focusing on who's going to get the 10 to 15 carry. No one is. No one is. You wouldn't do that. I don't think Sean Payton's going to sit in his office and be like, so those 10 run plays and five catchers that, that Ingram had, who's going to, you're not. You've upgraded in a lot of different levels. When you look at the line on either side, Brian, Teron Armstead left early. He watched today, whether it was a Veterans Day off or, you know, they wanted to give him some rest because of it. I don't know. Sean Payton didn't say. It's an off day tomorrow, but I think the off day is coming at a good time. But again, there's concern anytime Teron Armstead doesn't finish a practice. There's concern when Cameron Tom's arm's in a sling. There's concern when you're starting to see those bumps and bruises kind of add up a little bit, especially on that offensive line position.
Yeah, and for Teron Armstead, I mean, this is going to be pretty much a make-or-break year for him because he has to remain healthy. He hasn't been able to do so thus far. And when he is healthy, you can see the difference. I mean, Marcus Davenport talked about it, you know, himself. He can't get around that wall, and you need a guy like that, you know, basically a Pro Bowl-level left tackle to go up against Marcus Davenport to kind of sharpen him up and get him ready. And if Teron Armstead isn't there, then it's going to be a problem for the O-line because now you have a lot of guys shuffling. You need to fill in him. Andres Pete's still not there yet, so that continuity just isn't there. Yes, they're veterans. They'll be able to plug right in and play and get their feet wet after a couple of times, but you want to see Teron Armstead for his own self. Just, you know, just get out there, play a full 16-game season. And right about now, I mean, I heard you earlier. I think the break and the day off couldn't have come at a better time for this team to kind of take a day off, heal up a little bit, and get back out on the field.
No doubt. Speaking with Brian and Elise, one final comment as we wrap up here. Look, 5 days in, five practices, we said, here comes the off day. From here on out, really, it's like I've talked with Marlon Favreite. The practices are getting, you know, the days in between games are going to start getting shorter. You really only have six practices to really kind of start showing some people. Who else is standing out to you that kind of, to me, Justin Hardy is a guy, right? We talked about it in a video yesterday. Justin Hardy, couple of pass breakups over the last couple of days. Who else has kind of maybe stood out that isn't your normal starter or somebody like that? PJ Williams has had some nice practice.
PJ Williams is another one, but for me, it's been Devontae Harris. And I mean, I can't believe I'm saying it myself that Devontae Harris has actually been making great plays during a practice session. He seems to make a play every practice that kind of like, hey, wow, you know, maybe he can kind of, you know, stay on the lineup. Last year, they had to cut him, put him on a practice squad and sneak him on. But this time, he looks like a guy that maybe getting cut last year maybe motivated him to be like, you know what, I can't just rest on the idea that I'll make it through special teams, or I can't just be, you know, a depth guy and be the sixth corner. I got to make plays if I want to be around this team. And so far, he's done that. And I'm surprised to be saying it myself because most Saints fans, you know, couldn't put him on the bus fast enough to get him out of town. And I mean, I'm actually shocked to see him making plays. And maybe the light will finally cut on for him in year four.
No doubt. And Brian, as we turn the page here to the next couple of practices, as we said, Wednesday, Thursday, open. Friday's close. Saturday, open. Sunday is open fan fest at Tulane's Yulman Stadium at 7 o'clock. So a little night affair, prime time away from the heat, and a lot of fans will be able to fill those stands there. Free parking in the Diebold Garage over there as well. Monday closed. Wednesday walk through. Then it's time for football. What are you going to be interested in seeing over the next couple of days as you start getting there? Is it really the return game? Is it the sloppiness? Again, more drop passes today, four interceptions. Brian, here's what I want to see. I honestly want to see a day, maybe two, where the offense clearly wins the practice. And again, it's not that I'm upset that the defense is. That's a good sign. But I if I can see that, then all of a sudden I'm really feeling good about this team.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that, as well as I want to see what's up with the backup quarterbacks, because thus far I haven't seen anything from those guys that are going to make me confident that the Saints even have, you know, close to the heir apparent to Drew Brees in-house right now. I know Taysom Hill has the, you know, the footwork. Once he breaks the pocket, you can see the speed there. You know, Tom Savage, you know, every now and again completes a nice deep ball or a nice pass, but it's not consistent enough. And just over the weekend, they were putting the ball on the ground a little too much for myself and Sean Payton's liking. So I want to see what happens with the backup quarterbacks as it gets into the preseason games. Do they have to, you know, maybe possibly start looking at the waiver wire, maybe a trade market to kind of see about bringing in a backup quarterback? Or is it just number nine a bust? And, you know, let's just pray for the best when it comes to him staying healthy for the entire season as he has his entire career.
That's a great question. That's a great thing to look at. Because, Brian, I don't. Okay, here you go. Quick impromptu questions. We hit the break here. Who has stood out of both quarterbacks? Is it Taysom or Tom? I'm leaning towards Taysom, but Sean Payton said that Tom Savage had two nice practices, some good throws. I just think Taysom gives you more advantage.
You know what? At this point, Gus, it's 6-1, half a dozen in the other. I mean, I don't know what Sean looks at, what he grades the film in order to say, well, today was a good practice for XYZ guys. So maybe that's a question I have to ask. Like, what exactly is it that you look for when you're doing your grading, or what's the process involved in it? But right now, it's 6-1, half a dozen the other. To be honest with you, I mean, you know, barring JT Barrett, both of them kind of haven't impressed me at all. So maybe, just maybe, you know, Jay, since he likes to fire everybody, maybe Jay this Friday can fire both guys and, you know, maybe bring in another quarterback.
We will see. That's an interesting comment to start all over. I don't know. Somebody over the weekend told me, what about Glennon? What about Glennon if he doesn't, you know, over there in Arizona? It might be something to kind of look at. So, I don't know. We will see for sure. But I definitely still think this team wants Taysom Hill to go up there and win it. Brian, as always, man, folks can follow you on Twitter over at BrianTNR. We'll see you again over the weekend, and we'll have some more breakdowns again.
Indeed. See you at Harley as well.
That's right. Don't forget, Harley Davidson on Saturday will be there right after practice wraps up. They'll start the grill at 11, so don't wait on us. We got to wait and get the interviews and all of that. But it's free food, free everything. And, Brian, you were there. I mean, it's legit. Free chicken, hamburgers. The sausage was tremendous. Hot dogs as well. Free beer, free water. Snowballs for free as well from Kona Snowballs. It's a great opportunity.
Absolutely. Make sure you go check out, possibly get yourself an Iron Horse, man. Get on a Harley.
You like the one that I was on?
I loved it, to be honest with you.
I know. Me too.
But too bad you're not getting it, huh? Thanks a
lot.
Take that.
I showed the picture to my wife, and she just said, yeah, keep dreaming. That's what she told me. But you know what? It's just the first part. Negotiations, you go back and forth, and we will see. It's a sports glide. It's absolutely gorgeous. Check it out online. Thank you, Brian. See you later. We'll hit the break. We'll come back. Well, let's start backing up why we're talking about the defense playing so well. I'm going with PBU City. 800-998-1003. You can tweet at us as well. What name would you give the Saints defensive secondary right now's ability to pass, break up pretty much every throw the quarterbacks are throwing? Sports Hangover continues. Someone on Twitter says, Ken Crowley, somebody that stood out. Everyone not on his level. Best quarterback in the NFL to me. I don't know if he's being funny. Marshawn Lattimore is pretty good. Still, I mean, if you feel that way, it's not bad. Candied Crunchberry, which stood out through two practices. How hot it gets in July kind of stood out. He's not kidding. It was brutal. Really honestly was. Sean Payton, though, didn't want to hear it. Did not want to hear on the heat. Wasn't about to use that as an excuse. Not that he was using it as an excuse or anybody would. But he's like, look, it was as hot as it was. It was, I want to say, 110, 111 Saturday. It wasn't a cloud out there. Again, which is why I just walk across the street next Saturday to New Orleans Harley-Davidson. Get some free ice cold beer. It's in an ice chest. You can't even miss it. And a huge, like one of those fishing ice chests, those big white ones full of bottled water. So right there in the door. Because it was warm, man. It was brutal. Someone told me that 20 players after Saturday received IVs. But no one dropped out of practice, which was a good thing. Sean Payton, though, on Saturday, again, he was asked about the heat.
It's exactly what we expected. I would say it wasn't hotter than we thought. It wasn't cooler than we thought. It's kind of what we thought. and what it's been like for years here.
Cameron Meredith on the Heat.
I mean, I'm drenched. You know, it's a little different. But, you know, at the same time, it's a different element I never had to put in my game. You know, I didn't practice in 110-degree heat every day. It might not be that hot, but you know what I mean? It feels like it.
No, it's 110 out there.
Oh, see? So, you know, definitely it helps you get in condition. Yeah, you know, all of that stuff. So it's a lot different, but, you know, you got to work through it and it helps you condition.
Joey, did you hear that? I was taking my spot as a part-time meteorologist, and that happened to be Brian Enola East telling Cameron Meredith it was 110.
We'll let him have it.
Yeah, exactly. P.J. Williams said one thing that did help fight the heat on Saturday, at least, was the fans.
Oh, man, with the fans out here is definitely good, man. It's a lot more energy. It's definitely – it's like being – when you're in the stadium, then it's everybody getting loud when you make a play, so it's definitely a little bit more adrenaline rushing when you're coming out. But it's hot out here, so you got to try to keep it down.
And final heat – related bite, Ryan Ramczyk from yesterday.
It's definitely a different type of heat down here. You know, yesterday was even hotter than today, so just something you got to battle through. You know, obviously football's not an easy sport, so just something you got to battle through and then keep pushing, adjust to it.
The good thing about it, Joey, is when you kind of look at this week, see, this is the part where I'm sure Graffinini would be making fun of me. Here we go. Your weather update, Joey. You like that? There was a little weather sound.
Like that. Like
you like that? Little storm, little rain. Mm-hmm. Actually, you see it outside right now. It is. You're going to see some rain a couple of days this week. Then all of a sudden it cools off just a little bit. And you got a nice dry high. Coming all the way from, like, Canada and stuff, Joey, this week. Right in the middle of the country is going to give some cooler temps, some nice lows. More importantly, not as muggy. So when you go to the open practices on Wednesday and Thursday, Friday's closed, and Saturday and Sunday, it shouldn't be as bad. You should have as many IVs. So there you go. There's your weather update. That's true.
That's what they told Moses. It's just a dry heat when you go through the desert, dude.
Dude, Saturday was brutal. It was brutal.
Oh, I saw the pictures you sent me.
It was brutal.
And I really felt for you because I went outside to look at the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was melting, as I was walking,
mm-hmm.
I tried to sing you some Baton Rouge Rain.
Yeah, but I saw you did that.
Yeah, but somehow
you sent me a tornado.
Yeah, it didn't touch down. My wife thought she was Jim Cantore. I took the wheel. But, no, I tried to send it to you, but right when it got to Chalmette, it just broke up.
That's
pretty
incredible. Yeah, no, I know you did. I know you did. Yeah. We'll take the quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit. We'll hear from P.J. Williams and Von Bell in specifics on this defense. Again, I mentioned it. Does it seem like every other pass, man, is a pass breakup? I'm calling it PBU City, as in pass breakup city. Brian and Elise is referring to it as Fast and the Furious. Got a couple of other suggestions already. Defensive back of town from Anthony. Feel free to give us some suggestions as to what you think we should call the defensive backfield when the play is made and it's a pass breakup, right? Love to hear your take on it as some thunder is now outside the window here in the Metairie studios. It's the Sports Hangover. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. Will continue next on ESPN New Orleans. Of the lightning or crossing the causeway in bad weather. It's finishing up, getting ready for school coming up here in the fall, Joey, so he's not here. He's got to take care of that. But he did find time to text me. I'll tell you what stood out so far through 5 days and five practices. You lying to me about snowballs. He will not let go of the snowball thing. Won't let it go.
He didn't try the quarterback snowball challenge?
He did not try the quarterback snowball challenge. he wasn't there. Von Bell, look, I tell you what, he was another practice that we mentioned on the video that Brian and I did yesterday that stood out over the weekend. I thought he had two really good practices. You've seen a lot of Kurt Coleman, and a lot of times he was the guy getting the start. Saturday and Sunday, you saw a lot more of 24 at Von Bell. But more importantly, I think the thing that really stood out about Von Bell is, again, lots of pass breakups. I asked him, I said, is it just me? Actually, it was P.J. Williams that I asked this, and we'll get to Bell. But I asked P.J. Williams, is it just me, or are you seeing a lot of pass breakups everywhere? Again, PBU City.
I'm not sure if it's more than usual, but I definitely think we're improving. We know the system, and we're just working on little things to be able to be to that level that we need to be.
Exactly. And I think it's just, as Brian and I were talking about a little bit ago, it's time on task and being in this defense more and more. Von Bell, comfort level in this defense.
Very comfortable. Being with DA for 3 years, going on 3 years with Aaron Glenn and Coach Pete and the signing system. So very comfortable now. Know my signs, know my adjustments. I got some little vet moves I can do now, what I picked from other guys from years previous. So very comfortable in the scheme and just ready to go out there and have fun with my guys.
Now, last year to this year, the difference for him?
We put last year behind what we did last year behind. We always step into a new day every day. We always step into a new step every day. So we just put our front foot forward and just keep on going and just keep on building each day and each week.
I like that because, again, it's interesting to hear how certain players go and try to let go of last year. And, again, I've mentioned this to her already if you listen to the show, that I don't feel that Minnesota loss is weighing on anyone's mind. I don't think it weighs on a lot of fans' minds. I really don't. Do you remember? Does it still bother you to see the play? Can you not see the play? Sure. Sure. But I'm talking about the level of that San Francisco game. That 49er game felt raw, felt real for seasons. And finally, several years passed that even Drew Brees admitted he still thought about it, and it ate at him. Because he felt that was a Super Bowl winning team. I just don't feel that the Minnesota game was like that. David, there you go. There's my mention of the Vikings. Von Bell, by the way, I asked him, I said, what is it like frustrating Drew Brees? Saturday, he was frustrated. Frustrated. Yesterday, happened again. Anzalone coming in off the left side, unblocked. I think Brees missed the check. It would have been a sack, threw an incomplete pass, immediately smacked his hand, yelled. Just, again, the offense has been frustrated. Von Bell on it.
Sometimes, you know, that means the defense is winning. We out there having fun, flying around, just making plays around the ball, and just knocking passes down and intercepting the ball. So it's always a good feeling to see that.
But, again, it goes to what he was saying, and P.J. Williams even mentioned it a little bit as well, and some of the other defensive players. Just haven't been in the system a while. You can see it. That's why I think Brian is going with Fast and the Furious. They're just reacting now. They know where they're going. There was a play yesterday that Von Bell had a pass breakup, and I remember telling Brian, there's your point right there. It was no one there, right? It looked like a completion, should have been a completion. The ball's on its way, and out of nowhere, Von Bell just appears. He just appears, dives in the nick of time, makes the play. There's a reason I'm calling it PBU City, and it's the philosophy, the coaching, the technique. It's got to be. It's not coincidence. But P.J. Williams, Justin Hardy, Devontae Harris. I mean, again, not just the usual suspects of Lattimore and Crowley and Patrick Robinson. Every single defensive back, I believe, honestly, I could probably attribute, even to Trell Jamerson, I've seen one or two, the rookie. It's at the last second. They might get beat on the route. They might get beat on the out instead of the in. They might get beat on the fly. They might be on the post. But at that last second, right before the ball comes in, you'll see a hand just slide in there and make it an incompletion. You'll see a hand slide in there to where they can't complete the catch when they go to the ground and the ball comes out. It's incomplete. There were several times yesterday, the ball was caught. And by the time he hit the ground, ball was trickling out. Would have been incomplete. That's the one thing that's really stood to me. That the play isn't over to them until the play is over. Now, I know that might sound obvious. That might sound like, well, duh. But I'm talking about if they get beat initially, they don't just let it go. You will see the DBs just get on their horse, get to the play. And then once the receiver touches the ball, then you see them go to action into work. That's what stood out to me this year as opposed to last year. Last year, you saw a philosophy change. You saw Aaron Glenn flat out say, go be physical. We get a flag, we get a flag. We'll live with it. Be physical. This year, you're seeing the refinement of that physicality. You're seeing the refinement of, we'll be physical with you at the line. Once we're rolling and we're running, and at the end, the physicality returns. That's something that's really stood out to me. Again, it's a technique. You're seeing it over and over and over and over again. The competition level, Von Bell.
Right now, it's just we're just going out here competing for the spot right now. So nothing really changed. We're not game planning right now. We're just going out here competing and stacking days. Just keep on getting better each week, each day. And just with the guys, with the whole unit as a whole. So we just keep on getting better and competing at the spot. And we're going to see who the best man wins.
I like that because there are a lot of defensive backs back there. You can only keep so many. Von Bell on the key to this defense playing well. Listen to this.
It's really the set and the down and distance for us. So we know about formations and down and distance, what kind of routes we're getting and what situation we need to be in. So it's really about that, just reading your keys. And when the offense break the huddle, read the book. And the book always tell you a story. So just have your eyes right.
I like that. Doesn't it sound like a school of fish mentality, right? And you go back, again, I go back into it yesterday. I mean, last season, and I've said this a lot during the offseason. One thing I loved about Marshawn Lattimore and one thing that you see from a lot of other people is you see guys have success, but he wanted to share it. It wasn't me. Marshawn Lattimore didn't just pat his name on the back of his jersey and got congratulated. He went and took a picture with his teammates. I thought the fact that the photograph thing started last year said a lot about this defense. And listen to Von Bell right there. Everyone play your role. Everyone do your thing. DeMario Davis yesterday after practice said, see ball, get the ball. Do your part. They've bought into Dennis Allen, and this defense is just, it's the thing that stood out. The one player, it's Tre'Quan Smith. The one aspect of the team, it's this defense. Flat out. Hour three, coming up next, Marlon Fayright says he wants to jump on into the conversation. We'll do that at 2:15. More sound from the Saints as well. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN at New Orleans. Shining like